Wasn't that beautiful? Isn't it amazing how you don't need all the orchestra and all the instruments, and sometimes just the voices alone can do such an incredible job. We're blessed that all the holy angels were around to help with that beautiful music. Oh, I just want to talk a little bit before I get into the message this morning that Susan and I, first of all, are happy to be back again. I know a lot of you haven't seen us for quite a while now. So we've been so busy with doing the health work, the health ministry, and it's not easy work. It really isn't. You know, sometimes I look at it and say to myself, well, you know, if I was in the corporate world, I'd be doing pretty well with the kind of hours and effort that we put in. You know, it used to be that I would spend, well, every day of the week, actually, back in those days, you know, working 18, 20 hours a day. Well, we're on our feet from about 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. every day doing treatments, running, you name it, all sorts of things, preparing food, preparing juices, trying to respond to crises as they come up and whatnot. And we've been doing that probably now for the better part of 3 months. So I have to admit, we are a little tired. As I stand here today, we just finally brought two ladies back that were at our last program just a couple of days ago, one from Alaska and one from California. And they were so thankful to be there. And we thank the Lord for bringing them to us because they were had so much heart for the Lord. They were so thankful for all the things that He's given all of us to do to take care of ourselves. And they came here basically with an obesity issue, and just in the 10 days lost about 10 pounds, which is quite remarkable. And I really was impressed the other day about, on the subject of weight loss, just how much 10 pounds really is. And I took this one of these weights that we use, you know, that we lift above our heads. It's only 10 pounds, but man, that thing is heavy. I think that's a lot of additional weight for us to be carrying around. So it's a real blessing, you know, to have to be able to get ourselves back to optimum health and lose that weight. And we're just thankful to be doing the work. But it is not easy work. And again, if I were doing this in a different setting, you know, I'd be back. And Susan and I anytime can go back to our former lives. You know, I could go back to the corporate world. She can go back to education with the DOE. And we could, you know, have a nice little house and do all the things that everyone in this country seems so excited about doing. But we're just thankful that the Lord's given us a particular purpose, and we're very, very thankful each day to be doing this work. Now, the message today, I have to say before I even get into it, is probably not going to be a popular message. It's not one that probably, in some cases, and maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I'm shown otherwise, may not go over that well. But nonetheless, I'm going to do it because the Lord put it on my heart to speak this message today. And a lot of times I've had to cover subjects that were very, very difficult for me to do because I only want to do what the Lord wants of me in my life and not do this under my own power or by my own will. That's the last thing I want to do, or take this into my own hands. So please urge you to have a word of prayer with me before we get to the message and ask for the Lord's guidance in this, not my own means or my own words. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, once again for bringing us here today. And we know You have a purpose in every single thing. First, we just thank You for giving each of us another day of life. As precious as that is, we do not take that for granted. And we are thankful to have that time, to have this fellowship with one another, and to reach out to others with a word of truth, to reach out to others whose hearts may be ready to open up to Your word and help them to find that truth. Lord, please be with each of us today, and I just pray that whatever words are spoken, whatever words that I feel impressed to speak, that they're Your words, not mine. And I pray that as difficult as some of these things are for us, that we come away with greater understanding and appreciation for the love and the care You've given us by leaving us this message, one to carry close to us and help us to be all that we can be in this life. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You probably can glean from what I was saying that message today is going to be related to health. And of course, it's an easy one for me to speak about because it's what we're doing every day in our ministry. And I think in the past, I've focused more on a lot of different things. We've talked about the Holy Spirit as our teacher, the differences between the Old and New Covenant, things of that nature. But the health message is one that's so very important, and I'm sorry to say, has become more and more pushed back into the shadows, and we're really not following it I get very disappointed sometimes, and I'll just be frank about it. You know, as we travel around and look at the things happening in our own churches, you know, this church, and that is the Adventist Church, was blessed with having a great light shine upon it in the very beginning, in its foundation, and particularly in the area of health. And we have little by little by little, just like everyone else, turned far away from that. And now we're seeing the consequences of it. And so I really want to get into this message today, not because this is an Adventist message, and in fact, and I think I've mentioned this before, there are other churches and other ministries doing far more in this area than we are. There's an organization that some of you may have heard about called Hallelujah Acres. It was founded by George Malcolmus. He's Baptist. And this organization has done a great deal in reaching out to literally millions of people. There are 3 million people in this organization now. And all of them have testimonies to share about remarkable recoveries that they've made in their lives just by following God's simple plan. So with regard to this message, what I want to say first is that so as you go back through Scripture, you know, we see so many times that messages were delivered by prophets. Now, by all means, I don't consider myself a prophet. But I just want to say that even those who were recognized as having a prophetic truth, a prophetic message, what happened to them? What happened to some of them? Many of them, if not most of them. They were either rejected or even imprisoned. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 22, that's 1 Kings chapter 22, I want to talk just real briefly about Micaiah and Ahab. And I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm just going to take a couple of verses, but let me give you a little bit of background. This was a situation in which Ahab was considering going up against the Syrians. And Jehoshaphat came along, king of Judah, and offered to help. And in the process of doing that, before they went into battle, he asked for some guidance, as typically the kings did. They called one of the prophets of the Lord and said, "Can you give us some enlightenment? Should we go do this? Is this the Lord with us on this?" And of course, as we go through the story in this particular chapter, and it's a very good one, and I suggest you really take time to read it. I'm not going to have time to go through all of this today because I do have a lot that I want to try to cover. But what happens to Micaiah is that he gets rejected. You know, basically, Ahab does not like what he has to say. In fact, when Jehoshaphat calls for one of the true prophets of the Lord, Ahab goes on to say that he hates him. He hates what he has to say. He never says anything good. He never has a good message to give. So I don't even want to hear him. But then, of course, under the pressure of doing the right thing, he finally yields to that and listens to what Micaiah has to say. And what does he tell him? If you go into battle, basically the children of Israel are going to be without a leader. And you're going to be toast. You're gone. And he didn't want to hear that. That was very inconvenient at the time because he had an agenda. He wanted to go into battle and nothing was going to change his mind. Nothing was going to deter him. So what happened if we look at verse 26? And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I come in peace." And of course, Micaiah says something to the effect of, "If you do," because the Lord's message is pretty clear. You're not coming back. And of course, in the end, we find out that, in fact, prophecy was fulfilled in this chapter, and I can get into a whole study just on that, but Ahab doesn't make it back, and Micaiah was absolutely right. But what happened? He wound up in prison. If we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and this is the story of King Asa, who basically up until the end was a fairly good king, had tried to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but somehow in the end, as many of the kings of Judah did, he decided to go off the track and he wanted to recruit the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. He was going to pay tribute money to have him come in and do cause a little bit of disruption with King Baasha of Israel. He wanted him out of his hair, basically. So here he is hiring through tribute money the Syrians to come help do his battles for him. And if we jump down to verses 8 through 10, this is where Hanani, one of the prophets, comes in, the true prophet of the Lord, and tells Asa No, why are you doing this? Why are you deciding to take these matters into your own hands and do this your way? And he says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. So there again is another very unpopular message. It's not what he wanted to hear. He wanted to go do his thing, and he didn't want to hear any, you know, negative stuff coming back. So what happens? Then Asa was wroth with the seer, with the prophet, and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. So he really went renegade. I mean, he just went off the track and started turning away from the Lord and all that he did, even persecuting this true prophet of the Lord. And it goes on and on and on. We know about Jeremiah. Was Jeremiah treated very well? No. He tried to warn the children of Israel. Again, what happened to him? He too was in prison. He too was rejected. He too went through a lot of discomfort. John the Baptist was imprisoned. And the apostles themselves, if you look at, as far as John the Baptist, look at Matthew 14. The apostles, Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Acts chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. And I could go on and on and on. The point I'm trying to make is that historically and scripturally speaking, every time a message was delivered that was not a popular message, especially during a moment where someone wanted to hear something differently, it was rejected. And all I can say is, from my experience and what I've seen, you know, over the last couple of years particularly, that is exactly what's happening with our message of health. Now, this is a special season right now, we all know that. And very often we speak of things related to the cross and the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf, and certainly this message is that. But I think more importantly, this message is something for us to carry with us into the new year. We're coming up on a new year. This is a chance to start, make it the first day of the rest of our lives, January 1st. And make some changes in our lives that will give us an opportunity to live full, healthy, vigorous, enthusiastic, and exciting lives and have the opportunity to be closer to the Lord because our minds are clear and we have energy and we can function well rather than being ill. Now, it took, unfortunately, when we go back to the kings of Judah, kings of Israel, it took a lot for them to learn their lessons. Nebuchadnezzar was another one. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the hard way. You know, we look in Daniel chapter 4, what happened to him? He wound up eating grass, right? And we actually, that's part of the health message, as a matter of fact, because we know how grass is very good for us, but I'm not going to even get into that at this moment. I just want to talk about the fact that, you know, Daniel chapter 2, verses 21 to 22 says, referring to what the Lord does in our lives and certainly in the lives of these kings who thought they knew better, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And so the bottom line to all of this is that none of us should ever feel that we have all the answers and that we know better. We shouldn't look that way, I think, at others, that they have all the answers, whether it's the great mucky mucks in the world who have all the fancy credentials, and we look to them instead of looking back to the Lord. God gave us a very simple message. It's one for us all to follow. It's an opportunity for us to get our lives back on track. What I want to do before I get into the meat of this and really start talking about some specifics is go back and look at some of the verses in Scripture that will help to remind us of where we ought to be in our walk as Christians. So if you'll turn with me, first of all, to 3 John verses 1 and 2, and many of you probably know this by memory. 3 John chapter 1, I'm sorry, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The message of health is deeply ingrained in the Bible. And we're just going to go through some verses that I want you to make note of and remember, because this is part of the message that the Lord gave us and one for us to hold dear to us, hold close to our hearts. Turn to Psalms chapter 103, verses 1 through 5. And this is a very good one as well. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. When we talk about satisfying our mouth, as we talk about in the health message, we're not talking about lemon meringue pie and Coca-Cola. This is what the Lord gave us. He gave us good things, and we're going to get to that. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We've talked very much I'm sure everyone has heard Daniel chapter 1 about the king's meat. Daniel and his cohorts, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were challenged. They were faced with being kind of given special treatment by Nebuchadnezzar to be groomed to work in his court. And as part of that, they were going to be served some of the very finest foods that Babylon had to offer. This was the very best. This wasn't like the average foods that most of the people ate at that time. This was the king's food. And of course, having the guts to stand their ground, you know, what did Daniel say? He said, no, I'm not going to eat that. He actually refused to eat the king's meat. And he asked, you know, prove us. You know, give us 10 days with pulse or vegetables, or sometimes we think of the Daniel diet as lentils. And because they followed that diet and they agreed, he stood, the Lord was with him, and he was allowed to try that, him and his cohorts, for 10 days. And what happened? They looked better than all the other captives that were brought over and went on the king's program. They looked better, they felt better, they can think more clearly. And guess what? When we think more clearly, it's that much easier for us to know that the Lord is with us and to have that relationship with him, because our minds are working better. I'm telling you, if there's one thing in the last days that Satan had up his sleeve for all of us, it was to get us to do things that are going to take our minds away, whether it's through drugs, alcohol, or just everyday medications that we take, or the wrong foods which affect our biochemistry. We can't think clearly anymore. And if we're not thinking clearly, how can we really know that the Lord is there with us? How can we even sense that? Our minds are not working. So that is the underlying theme of Daniel chapter 1 and its importance in our lives. And if we go to Genesis 1:29, and of course, this is certainly, I think, for all of us should be a memory verse, but turn to that, Genesis 1:29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And in King James, meat meant food. It doesn't mean it's going to be like pork chops or something like that. I mean, this is food. So what are we talking about? What the trees give us, the seeds from the plants that grow in the ground, all of these things that were given to us, the fruits and the vegetables, the seeds, the nuts, the grains. That was the Genesis diet. That was the original diet in the Garden of Eden. And guess what, folks? That is going to be the diet in the kingdom. We might as well get used to it now, because if we expect to be there, that's the diet we're going to have. So if we don't like it now, what's going to happen to us when we get to the other side of the veil, as it were, when we get into the kingdom? How are we going to be able to appreciate what God has given us if we can't enjoy this food right now? Where we're going to substitute the packaged and processed and canned foods that society has thrust at us and basically gotten us to buy into through mass marketing. No, it's not going to cut it. That's not the diet that we're going to be eating. If we go down the list here, let's also go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And right along with that is Exodus 15:26. And believe me, this was a memory verse for me when I was going through some of my greatest trials with health. I look at this particular verse in Scripture as a promise from the Lord. This is a promise. This isn't just some words in the Old Testament. This is a promise from the Lord. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So there you have it. It's a promise from God that if we follow his ways and do the very simple things that he's given us, we will not be sick. Now that's a hard one to swallow, I think, in a world where we've come to rely so much on our own devices, on the world of modern medicine and pharmaceuticals, and all the other things that we have so readily bought into. We don't believe this anymore, do we? And I say this, you know, not in the wrong spirit, I pray not. But it's so frustrating to me because it has been a personal struggle and a battle for me in my life with health. And praise the Lord, I'm standing here alive and healthy despite some incredible health challenges, much of which you've all heard in the past. You know, my battle with a brain tumor and adrenal tumor and spinal stenosis and osteoarthritis and calcific tendonitis. And I was basically so impaired that I couldn't function anymore. And then I also shared with the church that back before we came here to the Big Island, I suffered a concussion, damaged all the work that had been done on my neck, caused a partial occlusion of the vertebral artery, which cuts off blood flow to the brain. And here's the part I haven't had the opportunity to share with you. I finally had some follow-up on that. They did an MRI, and guess what? I have something called a cavernous angioma in the temporal lobe of my brain, which has bled. So I've had a cerebral hemorrhage. Didn't even realize that. It's why I was having such a hard time struggling with speech and all these other things. I had no idea what was going on. And this is a reality, and if anyone questions, I'd be happy to share the MRIs and the lab, all the information that I have. But that's not the end of it. Back several years ago, I made the choice of trusting in what our wonderful medical profession can do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking the medical profession. There's reasons for it. I think I've shared before, we need emergency medicine. We need to be able to have treatment if we break an arm or a leg or we cut a blood vessel. These are things we can't do for ourselves, and we have experts to help us with that. We have equipment and technology to help with that. But when it comes to chronic disease, I'm sorry, that's where we fall short in the world of medicine today. It's a known fact, and it's becoming more and more known as time goes on, and I'll get into that here shortly. But what I wanted to talk about is I made a decision back a while ago to get a treatment for an inguinal hernia. It's a hernia down here. And they had a new method called the cool patch technique. And I know if anyone here is in the medical field, you probably know about the FDA's class 1 recall of that particular patch. I thought I was out of the woods with that because I was able to do this procedure without anesthesia, which was a fantastic thing for me, since at the time, if I'd been put under general anesthesia, I might have died because of the adrenal tumor possibly pumping out hormone and killing me on the table. So here's where I'm at now. This device malfunctions. It's a spring-loaded device. And what they're finding is people are literally dropping dead in some cases. And there have been many cases of severe infection because the spring mechanism malfunctions. So now, in addition to everything else, I'm a walking time bomb, I would say. Am I worried about this? Would I be standing up here preaching this message, or would I be down somewhere in some medical facility, maybe over UCLA or Cedars-Sinai or whatever, trying to get this thing fixed? I am trusting that God's going to take care of this. And so much so that I am putting my life on the line to give you this message. And no exaggeration, we have got to get to the point where we trust so much in the Lord that we know if we're doing all the right things to take care of ourselves, he's not going to disappoint us. He's not going to let us down. And as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when they stood before the fiery furnace, even if he doesn't get us through this, we're still not going to bow down to that statue. We're not going to cave in our beliefs. Whether we live or die, God ordained what's going to happen, and we trust him enough and love him enough and know that he loves us, that we're going to put our very lives in his hands. Now, I'm not telling you folks to go out if you have a medical problem or an emergency, don't get treatment. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying with this is there's nothing I could do about it right now except to trust in God and wait and see what happens with this thing. But the bottom line is I'm going to try to do everything right that I possibly can with my diet, with my lifestyle, with my exercise, with all the things that keep us healthy in the meantime. And the rest, as always is the case, is in God's hands. Now, if we go back to the, of course, to the Word of God, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, and again, these are verses that we have heard probably so many times, but the question is, are we taking these things to heart? So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." And we can go on. That's also echoed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, and so on, where Paul talks about our bodies as being the temple to the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. Do we want to bring things into the temple of God that defile that temple? Do we want to do things that are going to harm us in our health and at the same time compromise that holy, sacred nature of this wonderful body that the Lord has given us? Of course not. That's what, at least, I think that way. And I pray that we can all get that message, because we are doing things daily to hurt ourselves. And we can go on and on and on. The simplicity of God's methods. If you take the time and look at 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman and his experience, what happened with that? Here he thought that the prophet was going to meet him at his door. Elisha was going to come out and meet him. And he didn't. He just simply said, "Go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And what happened? Naaman was furious. He said, "How dare he? He didn't even come out to say hello. He's just telling me to go dunk in the Jordan. Why not the Pharpar rivers or the other rivers that are so much cleaner than the Jordan? Why would this be?" And as one of his servants so aptly put or said to him, "Well, if you'd been asked to do something really incredible, really difficult, you'd have probably done it, right, to get rid of your leprosy? I mean, what if he had said, just jump through a flaming hoop? Would you have done that? That would have certainly seemed a lot more dramatic, a lot more special effects." No, just very simple. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times, and he was healed. The simplicity of God's methods. Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. Hezekiah on healing. What happened with that? He had bubonic plague, apparently. He had this boil, was told by the prophet to place a lump of figs on the boil, and he was healed. These are all very simplistic methods. We have the blind man in the clay in John chapter 9, verse 6. I mean, the Bible is full of examples of very simplistic things that God does. Now, could God have healed these people miraculously without any of that? Sure he could. Sure he could. But this was about trust and obedience. Take this clay and put it on your eyes, and you'll be able to see again. It just so happens that clay is actually a very good resource for healing, because certain types of clay are particularly noted for drawing toxins out of the body, and they've been used for probably hundreds, if not thousands, of years by certain cultures to do exactly that. So there's a reason for the clay. My point is that all of these things are very simple, and they're God-given things. We don't need to rely on all this fancy technology and all the things that we've created. And sometimes we have to stand alone in this, just like Elijah did on Mount Carmel. There was the 450 prophets of Baal, and just one remaining true prophet of the Lord, trying to show the children of Israel the difference between, you know, who the real God is. Is it the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or is it Baal? And we know that story very well because we've read it many times. But the point of that story is he stood alone. And sometimes we have to stand alone, even in our beliefs about health. Because I'm sorry to say, when you make a change in your lifestyle and start doing things the way God intended, you're not going to get a lot of support for that unless everyone around you is in the program, your whole family, your friends. Otherwise, invariably, someone's going to walk up to you with that wonderful frosted chocolate cake and say, "Just a little piece. It's not going to hurt anything." And unfortunately, that's not true. What happens to your car if you put just one little bit of bad gasoline in it? Clogs up the carburetor. The human body is no different. We can go through this program of cleansing and get ourselves all cleaned out and operating at high efficiency, and then we go ahead and eat something that's really, really bad. Maybe it's fatty, maybe it's loaded with chemicals. That stuff doesn't just get out of the body right away. It hangs around for a while and causes us a lot of problems potentially, and eventually develops chronic disease. And then relying on the physicians, I love this one. Just turn with me to this, because I think this is probably the best example. We were talking about Asa, King Asa, earlier, and how he hired the Ben-Hadad's you know, they paid him tribute money, the king of Syria, to go out and battle with Israel. Well, what happened to Asa in the very end? 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And if this doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And Asa, this is verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to who? To the physicians. And here, Asa had already turned away from the Lord by doing this deal with trying to battle, paying off Syria to do his battles for him, and now he's really gone off the track, because instead of saying, Lord, help me, heal me, he turned to the physicians. What did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah turned back to the Lord, and he was healed through a very simple method. My point is, trust in the Lord. All of these programs that are out there now that try to instill this message of health in people, whether it's our program or whether it's Weimar or Danny Vera or whoever's out there doing this type of work, Heartland, the message is pretty much the same, except for one thing that we really like to highlight, that the first rule of health, the very first one, is trust in God, not the last one, not like New Start with Weimar, where that one kind of goes at the end because it's a great acronym. The first one is trust in God, because I'm sorry to say, without that, I don't care what you do. You can jump through flaming hoops. You could do all sorts of wonderful things to try to work on your health. It is not going to work unless you have a heartfelt conviction and a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that in your heart, nothing's going to help. Because it is a matter of trusting in the Lord. And just as Moses held up the brass serpent to get the children of Israel, who the Lord had unleashed the fiery serpents upon, and many got bitten and died, he held that up to get them to do what? To look to Christ. Look to the Lord for healing. First and foremost, when we get sick, trust that God has a plan and turn back to his plan. Now let's talk about the world's plans. That's something I really wanted to get into, because I could go on and on about this, and I see I'm going to run out of time, and that's not going to work too well. We did an interesting study, and this is one of the things I talk about in the program. If you look at the history of food, this is fascinating. Go back to the turn of the 20th century and start looking at some of the products that were also used to, from marshmallow fluff to you name it. It is amazing how, as these things started to come into being, that you look at the curve of chronic disease, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, and obesity, guess what? That curve goes up exponentially. And you know where it really shoots off the scale? In the 50s. What happened in the 50s? McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, and a whole bunch of other fast foods came into existence with some of the greatest marketing minds in the history of the corporate world. And I can tell you that because I was in the corporate world. And what we would do with products and services is come up with ways to sell it to people. Just like the guys in the dark overcoat standing on the street trying to sell drugs to our children, these companies are no better, because they spend a lot of money, and they have the money to spend, coming up with, they have these think tanks, and people sit down and they come up with ways to try, clever ways to try to reach children as well as us, to convince us that these things are safe, these foods are wonderful, and that we should use them. Well, I'm sorry to say, but as you look at this curve, this influx of these incredibly bad foods that we know have done damage, even the mainstream medical profession knows that by eating these highly processed, refined, and packaged foods, this is the reason we have type 2 diabetes. It didn't exist to any great extent before the turn of the 20th century. In fact, if you go out there and pull up all the statistics from authoritative medical and historical sources, you're going to find out that the turn of the 20th century, we had respiratory disease was the primary killer, pneumonia and other conditions like that. Not heart disease, not diabetes, none of these things. They hardly existed. The incidence was so low compared to the way they are today. But now they're going off the map, because we've all made choices in eating the things and doing the things that harm us. And I'm only sharing this with you because I think there's been enough death and carnage in all of our churches and in all of our society. This is the message that Hallowed Acres is carrying. This is the message of George Malcolmus to millions of Christians. He was on Nightline and Fox News recently to talk about the biblical message of health. And if we just went back to that, we wouldn't even be sick in the first place. The food industry has basically set us a trap with all these wonderful fast products that we could eat, including fast food. And then once we eat them and get sick, guess who's waiting for us on the other end of the curve? The pharmaceutical industry. Because why? This is a multi-trillion dollar industry. If people ever speak out against some of the medications that are being peddled out there, they might not live to tell about it, because there's enough money out there that they could certainly be taken out of the picture if they decided to do that, honestly. But the food industry has basically lied to us, and the pharmaceutical industry has lied to us as well. We have battles going on over various medications that are out there. This has been all over the national news, and if I had all the clips here to show you, I'd be happy to do that. Just turn on NBC News with Brian Williams anytime, and you'll see the stories about Avandia, the diabetes drug, or about OxyContin, that was supposedly touted as being a safe painkiller medication that would not cause addiction, and the drug company knew very well it caused addiction, and so they got fined something like $600 million, and the pharmaceutical company CEO and his cronies were also fined $30 to $40 million apiece, which gives you a pretty good idea as to what kind of salaries they have. This stuff should not be happening. The bottom line is, if you go to the doctor and he says you have high cholesterol, there's a simple solution that God gave us. Eat the right foods. Don't eat the cholesterol. Don't take the statin drug. I mean, why are we trying to cover up the things that we're doing to ourselves? We have a choice in what we eat and how we live, and if we do the right things, we won't ever find ourselves in a place where we need some of these medications that are actually causing us more harm. And I'm sorry to say, but if you go through the PDR, you will not find one single medication from one end to the other that is not in some way either liver or kidney toxic. This doesn't come from me. This comes from Charlotte Gerson, who is a fairly respected physician and pretty well known in the field of alternative health care. Go do your own research. But the fact is, there is not a medication out there. Now there's a big controversy over Avandia, the diabetes drug, and whether that the efficacy and safety of that particular medication that's used by literally hundreds of thousands of Americans. There's a significantly higher risk of heart disease or a severe cardiovascular disease as a result of using this medication. It's come before a Senate subcommittee to talk about these things. What the bottom line to the whole thing, people are still using it. Why? Because they don't want to change their diet. You know, I think of the old NRA slogan. There's something to the effect of, I'll give up my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Well, let's turn this around. I'll give up my donut when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. We are holding on to things that are not good for us, and we know that. Yet we continue to do it. Hawaii is a good example. The Western world influenced Hawaii. Now the staple in Hawaii is what? Everyone knows. It's spam and white rice. It's one of the most commonly eaten things. What has happened to diabetes in Hawaii? This comes from Dr. Terry Shintani, the author of The Hawaii Diet. Diabetes is 500% higher in Hawaii than on the mainland. Why? Because people took the sad standard American diet and ran with it. And because of that, they're dying. And quite frankly, I'm tired of watching people die. We do this work every day, and we see people going in the hospitals and not coming out of the hospital. And they don't even have to be there in the first place. Obesity, edema resulting from high sodium intake and highly refined foods, and kidney damage that results from the long-term use of that and eating at McDonald's every other day, is going to cause serious problems. There was a great movie, Supersize Me. I'm sure some of you might have seen it, about a man who was extremely excellent health, went on McDonald's diet for 30 days, and nearly died in the process. We're not meant to eat these things. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, we just in our society don't recognize that there's no difference from putting toxic foods and chemicals into our body. There's no difference between that and smoking a cigarette or having a glass of alcohol. It's all exactly the same. We are addicted. And what is addiction? Addiction is a process that we fall into to fill some kind of a void. Maybe we have this urge to have that little sugar fix, that sugar high. And what happens? There are always consequences, like diabetes, type 2 diabetes, which doesn't even have to exist. I'm telling you, this is truly the last day's deception for us. It truly is. And do we want to be in the same boat as Esau, who sold his birthright for a morsel of meat? Think about that one. That's a good scriptural example. He sold his birthright for a meal. I mean, are we not doing the same thing? Because if we lose our health, what have we got? All those things that we do every day, our jobs, our careers, things that we feel we have to get to, we have to accomplish, they're not going to mean a thing if our health is gone. And I'm telling you that from my own experience, where I went through the literally being on the brink of death, and suddenly all my incredible enthusiasm for doing my work as a corporate executive meant nothing. It evaporated because I was going to die. So what difference did it make? My point is simply this: don't get there. Try to do those things that take care of your health. Follow God's plan. Do those things with diet and exercise and fresh air and sunshine and all those basic rules of health, that if we incorporated those into our lives, we would not be sick. It is that simple. It really is. And we've seen it work. I want to talk about this. There are a lot of people, especially in our churches, who talk about the vegan diet and say, well, I'm vegan. We did this television show on TBN with a friend of ours, Brian Egarte. He wrote the book, The Maui Vegetarian. He made a really excellent point. He said, well, I used to have beer and chips. That's vegan. Absolutely right. So, you know, Coca-Cola is vegan. The point is, just because something's vegan doesn't mean it's good. You know, we got to really think about the stuff that we're putting in our bodies. Now, I know this is going to offend, and please forgive me. I don't mean to offend anyone with this, and I'm not judging anyone by making the comment I'm about to make, because believe me, I've been there and done it myself, so I don't sit in judgment of anybody else. I ate at McDonald's for a long time myself, so far be it from me to stand in judgment of anybody, but I just want to share this. As Adventists, one of the most common things that have been incorporated into our diet are things like the Worthington and Loma Linda foods. People in these churches order it by the caseload. Now, I want you to just do this one thing for me. You go home and read the labels on those packaged foods. Read the chemicals. In fact, many years ago when I was a vegetarian, before I was ever an Adventist or even knew what an Adventist was, you know, I was vegetarian. I used to go to the co-op, the health food store, and I'd look at some of those foods and say, oh, man, this is like DuPont. It's like a chemical factory. I'm not eating this stuff. But why are people eating it? Because it's vegetarian. Well, beer and chips are vegan. I mean, you see my point? Look at the stuff you're really eating. We're seeing cases of kidney disease and, you know, renal failure from people eating tons and tons of fatty processed foods. And where's a lot of that coming from? It's coming from these foods. Soy products, which we've all come to believe is great. We have to have our fix of tofu. Otherwise, we're not getting enough protein. Okay, what about soy? Soy is loaded with phytoestrogens. There are substances, the isoflavones in soy are very chemically similar to estrogen. If you eat enough soy, guess what happens? And recent studies have shown this. I could give you sources if you'd like. Go check it out yourself. They're authoritative medical sources. They're not from me. There are men at young ages who are developing breasts. There are women who are developing severe hormonal imbalances because of the phytoestrogens in the soy. Soy is not safe, period. End of story. Soy products are not good for us, and I could go on and on ad nauseum about all of this, but what can we substitute for protein? What do cows eat? Cows are a big animal, right? They're huge, in fact, and they seem to do pretty well for themselves. What are they eating all day long? Grass. Do they get enough protein? Well, obviously, they wouldn't be alive if they didn't. So my point is, if we have enough greens, if we eat our greens and we eat things that are high in protein, and in fact, broccoli is very high in protein, I can go down and give you a food chart that shows all this. This is not, again, my material or that I talk about. This is from people like Terry Shintani, who's very well respected here in Hawaii and nationally, for teaching about food and how to go back to a basic, healthy, plant-based diet. Canola oil, it goes on. Bragg's Aminos and MSG, for those that are using Bragg's Aminos, you probably, if you haven't heard about it, check it out. There was a huge controversy over Bragg's Aminos containing MSG. We sure don't want to eat MSG. It's neurotoxic. It causes all kinds of problems. The bottom line is, our diseases that we face today in such great number, like heart disease, hypertension, obesity, they are all simply tied to what we're putting in our bodies. If we can change those things, we will not have these diseases. Hypertension, high blood pressure, is one of the easiest things to control just by modifying our lifestyle. getting more exercise, drinking lots of water, cutting out the salty foods, cutting out the sugars, avoiding the highly processed foods, and going back to a plant-based diet. It's been proven. There are clinics opening up around the country now that are treating people for diabetes with a plant-based diet, and it's working. It's just simply a vegan diet, and they're actually seeing relief from type 2 diabetes where they no longer need insulin or other medications to control it. Because why? It's God's plan. I'm sorry to say we can go on and on and on, and we could look at the benefits and argue the merits of mainstream medical thinking versus alternative medicine versus what the Bible says. But I'll tell you what to me is always going to win is what the Bible says. Because if I don't believe this stuff, if I don't believe the message of health that's in here, then I'm just kidding myself. I mean, if I'm a Christian, that means that I'm following Christ. If I'm following Christ, it means that I trust in His Word. And if I trust in His Word, then this stuff has got to be realistic and right. And if it isn't, where am I? So that's my point, to tie it all together. This isn't a matter of trying to determine what the best approach is, or that, yes, we have some great things in medicine today. We do. We have great diagnostic capability, so we can at least discover what kind of disease process is going on. But what I'm here to tell you is that disease process can be treated naturally. It doesn't need to have medications. Let me throw this one at you. Did you know a major national news story that oncology, the cancer specialist, and this is a fact, this is all over the national news, there's a major controversy with it. And that is that they're incented primarily by selling the chemotherapy drugs. They buy it wholesale and they resell it to the patients. Most of their income comes from the sale of the medications. So they're not going to really be inclined to say, well, if you go home and drink lots of carrot juice and change your lifestyle, you're going to be okay. There's no money in it. There's just no money in it. And I'm sorry, we can't understate what has happened because of money in our world. I think we all know that. Every one of us has gotten to the point of holding on to the material things and forgetting God's simple ways, and instead relying on our own devices to become more and more successful. Well, so has the industry, I'm afraid, the pharmaceutical industries, and even to a great extent, sometimes the medical profession. Now, we work with a doctor in our program. We also work with some other physicians that are fairly well known that totally support and agree with the approach that we're talking about. And I'm not saying you should just toss out your drugs and not go seek medical attention. Obviously, there's a matter of being balanced and making wise decisions. But when you boil it all down, everything we need to know about health is right here in this Bible. Amen? And if we just follow that, we can't make a mistake, and we will be well. And yes, it shall be well if we trust in Jesus and realize that we have all in our lives made mistakes. We have all done things, you know, out of the devil's pretty clever, and he sets us up with these little wonderful things to try to attract us because it looks good. It started in the Garden of Eden. That fruit, wasn't it wonderful? Look at the color. Oh, it's just, isn't that marvelous? Try it. What could it possibly hurt? Try that piece of lemon meringue pie. What possible damage could it do? The bottom line is we're still being tempted every day the same way as it started in the very beginning. And it's not just with food. It's with a lot of other things. Discernment is what we all need in these last days, and recognizing that the simple message that God gave us is the true message, not the things that we've come to believe, because 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God," and it truly is. We have to trust in Him first and foremost, and we can never be steered the wrong way if we can only do that. So on that note, I think I'll close. I know I probably in this message, maybe some of you have heard some of this. I know you've heard a lot of it before. I probably made some friends and made some enemies at the same time, but you know what? Whatever it is, so be it. I'm going to preach this because I know it's the truth. We see it every day, and we see the benefits that people have by following God's plan, and it can't be denied. And so I share that with you with the most earnest and sincere belief that these things are valid and that they work. And if I'm wrong, well, then I guess I'm not going to be with you folks much longer. Actually, I should have been gone a few years ago. So on that note, let's have a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much again for this Sabbath day and bringing us together. And Lord, this is a difficult message, not just for me, but for everyone here, I know. Because we have been led to believe so many things in this world. We don't know anymore as your word says, in the last days there'd be so many deceptions that if so ever possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And so it's hard for us to discern sometimes what the real truth is from the facade, from the false front, from the deception. And Lord, I just pray for everyone here that for greater wisdom. You said that if we come to you, we ask of you, you'll give to all of us, and it upbraideth not. If we just ask for wisdom, and I pray for that for everyone here, so that we cannot fall for the devices of the devil, for the snares that Satan places out for us, but rather that we follow your simple plan in our lives and know that you would never steer us wrong, you would never mislead us, you would never lead us down a path to cause us harm or destruction because you love us. And so I pray this for everyone here and for all of our dear families as well, that we can find our way and learn how to live by your simple methods rather than the things we have come to believe and have suffered the consequences thereby. We thank you and praise you and pray for peace as we go out today into the world and pray for more enlightenment and direction, certainly through your Holy Spirit. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.